Okay, talked about having a testimony day. And actually, as many of the good things in my life, it was my wife's idea. So I said, just not sure what to do. I'm going to do this. She says, well, the best thing you got is your people's testimony. I said, let's do that. So here we are. Yeah, amen. Let's do it. So lights are hard on me. Kevin and Brenda, where are you? Yeah, okay. Come on up here. You need to come up here, please, because people in the balcony can't see you if you stand on the floor. This is Kevin and Brenda Boucher. Met these guys several months ago now, a few months ago, however long ago it's been. And Kevin's coming back to the Lord with a charge. And every time I get with him, it's like we're climbing each other's ladder. You know, and so I try to pour gas on his fire, and I think he tries to pour it on mine. So anyway, and you guys, take it.
Okay, this has been a while since I've done this, but I'm excited. First of all, I want to say something. There are people in here that I really appreciate, and I think you guys know who you are, and I love you guys, man. Thank you. I appreciate the mature believers in this place. But so I want to get real. You know, God has delivered me from some things. So 6 months to a year ago, I guess, I'd been reading tarot and practicing kind of like a form of witchcraft, magic, and was seeking that path. It's New Age occult path, and when I think about it, it's really freaky, but I read tarot for 5 years every day, trying to develop my subconscious and intuition, as they say, and it was just a deception, you know. It was just, you know, the enemy of my soul coming after me in the form of as an angel of light. And, you know, things started happening in my life. I started understanding things and seeing things and saw things going on and understood things that, you know, kind of actually sometimes before they were going on, and it started getting a little freaky. And then it went up a step when I decided I was going to join a secret group, and this was an online deal, and I started practicing a form of telemic magic and calling on spirits and all that kind of stuff. And again, Brenda heard this. I was doing it hours every day, and it was freaking her out, and I started to physically change my appearance. I got started getting really hard, and my heart started getting hard, and right about that time, the Lord intervened, and I was working a job. I was driving, and the Lord introduced me to a guy named Rick, and Rick, I thought I was getting strange. Rick was hard, man, and he started talking to me about things I don't even want to mention. And but he had two books. He had The Case for Christ and The Case for the Resurrection. This guy, I mean, this anger, this guy had rage and anger, and you could see it. And I'm like, what is this guy doing with these books? Yeah, you know? And sure enough, you know, he goes, hey, you want these books? I says, yeah. So it wasn't a Christian that got me back, came back to the Lord. It was a dude that was really hard. And so I read those books, and the Lord lit the lamp of my spirit again, granted me the gift of repentance, which is a gift, you guys. Amen. The Father will woo you by His Spirit to Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. And I cried out for weeks. I was worried. I was telling Brenda, I was like, I was worried. I wasn't sure if the Lord was going to forgive me, honestly. And He softened my heart, and praise God, He came. He came. Jesus came. Lit that fire again, and I'll tell you what, I threw away everything. I've had like 5 decks of tarot cards, and the last one I had, I mean, I would break out in a sweat if I wasn't doing it. I was in bondage, man. And I went to the garbage with a full bag of stuff. I threw away my books, my tarot cards, my associate. We actually had visitations from spirits, you know. from the organization that I was starting to get involved in, monitoring spirits that were watching us. And and we had pictures of them. Got a picture of them, you know, and it was anyway. God delivered me from them, and I'll tell you what, man, I got the joy of Jesus back. Yeah, and praise God. Jesus loves you guys. He can take away that sin, that thing that's holding you back. He can take that away.
Yeah, amen.
So I was in the background praying.
And, rightfully so.
I was baptized in a Baptist church. Didn't really know about tongues. Heard about it. Didn't think it was for me. He's like, oh, yes, it is. We're going to go up and get you prayed for, Bryn. So I came up. Elders laid hands on me. And so now I drive him crazy praying in tongues all the time.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks. Love you, man. Isn't that cool? He is good, and he does good. Our next two are video testimonies.
I've been attending Harmony since May of 2018. The first sermon I was being preached when I first started was on shame, which is something that I am very familiar with. 2015 was a pretty rough year for me. It started with me losing my grandmother, which was hard because I was really close with her. And in March of that year, I became pregnant for the first time, and I wasn't married. Later that year, I had my car stolen. And then November of that year, I lost my son due to a pregnancy complication. That wasn't the only trauma I experienced in my life, but it was definitely one of the hardest things I've had to go through. One Sunday, we were singing Psalm 46, and I felt like somebody walk up beside me, and I was there by myself that day. And so I looked next to me, because I thought maybe somebody walked down the aisle, and nobody was there. And then I felt like somebody reached out and grabbed my shoulder, almost like to comfort me, but still nobody was there. And I just stretched out my arms and closed my eyes, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of me, and all that pain and shame and everything that I've been carrying around for so long just fell away, and I just felt free, and I just felt peace. And ever since that, I've had quite a few blessings. One of the biggest ones is that I was able to get a car. A verse that really stuck with me through that time was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's just something that, you know, when I'm feeling down or discouraged, it's something that keeps me going, you know, just knowing that God has a plan for me. And I really do believe that God has a plan for my life. I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but I know He definitely has something in store for me.
That's strong.
In August of 2017, I developed a very painful left shoulder. I could hardly use it, and I could only lift it a few inches. I hadn't done anything to injure it, and the doctor called it a frozen shoulder. He sent me to physical therapy, and that did relieve most of the pain, and I did have a little more range of motion. After about a year, a little over a year, I thought, I don't think God's going to heal me of this. But if Paul had a thorn in his flesh, I could certainly live with that. God would give me the grace to live with that as well. So I think that was a point of surrender and probably acknowledgement that God is sovereign in my life. It was kind of maybe a turning point. And so that very Sunday, as I was standing in church worshiping, I suddenly realized that not only was my right hand high above my head praising him, but look, my left hand was up too. And I turned to Randy and I said, look at my arm. And he had healed it right then and there. I hadn't even asked him. I had just acknowledged his sovereignty and trusted him with it, just given it to him, and he just healed it. So I certainly did not deserve that miracle, but as his child, he just gave me that undeserved gift. And I think it was just all about surrendering, giving it to him, and acknowledging that he is sovereign in my life. And by his stripes, I'm healed.
I love that. And I want to touch on what Catherine said. This happened to her. I think you were sitting over here. But anyway, she's all by herself. And the Holy Spirit comes in and wraps his arm around her and stuff. The next Sunday, she comes and tells me about it. And I almost didn't recognize her. Her countenance was changed so dramatically. The grief, the regret, all those kinds of things that she mentioned were just off of her. And it's like she'd swallowed the sun. And I said, seeing a new stylist? I mean, wow, what? It was amazing. She tells me the story. Nobody touched her, but somebody touched her. Yeah, and the results were, it was amazing. I actually went to an eldership meeting. I didn't feel like I had the right to spread her testimony, but I said, guys, this young lady got touched and healed. I'll get her to tell it. But it was amazing. And so, yes. Josh. This is Josh Rice. Come up. And I had things lined up, and I got a text. Josh, he's got room for one more. And I said, I do now.
There you go, man. My name's Joshua Rice.
Kind of got to eat the mic, man.
Eat it?
Yeah.
All right. My testimony is about peaks and valleys. And I'm sure many of you know God comes into our lives in many different ways and sometimes weird ways. And I was a senior in high school, and there was a girl I was interested in theater class, and she invited me to church. Didn't have anything against God. I was like, sure. And on the first service I was there, the lady that was talking to the youth group was talking about how we don't deserve to be saved, but that God does it anyways, and she started pointing her finger out and saying, and God loves you, and God loves you, and it felt like she pointed right at me, and at that moment, I felt something I hadn't felt ever before, and I came into this church, you know, following a lady, and I left following a man. Now, of course, after that, you know, felt like I was on fire. I mean, just running so fast towards God that, you know, Flash couldn't even keep up with me. But as time went on, I let earthly things get in my way, and I stopped making time for God, and just it grew more and more until really it wasn't a factor in my life. And I have a son now. He's 5 years old, and about a year and a half ago, again, God does things in weird ways. I'm doing things that I think I'm doing it for him, for my son. We've got a devotional that we read nightly, and seeing my son praise God, pray to God, we're sitting there at McDonald's at a play place, and he's got this thing for heights, and he's getting ready to get to this top layer of this play area, and he stops, he's on his knees, and he goes, God, I'm not afraid, amen, and climbs up to the top.
Wow.
Seeing that just really, I mean, it was like gasoline. I was back. I was ready to go. And, I mean, peaks and valleys, but there's no more valleys. I'm headed straight up the mountain. I want to see the face of God. And, you know, things will come, trials and tribulations, but God's throwing down this big rope down that mountain, and anytime I run into it, just grab that rope and just keep climbing.
Awesome, man. Thanks, buddy. That was awesome. Does it in lots of ways, doesn't it? You're going to love what you're going to see next.
My father had gotten killed in an auto accident. And to let you know what he has to do with it is, if you wanted to see someone walk like Christ, you can look at my dad. He knew how to love people. He knew how to be patient. He knew how to be kind. All of the gifts of the Spirit, just there, okay? And then you have the fruit of the Spirit, what I was talking about just then, that fruit was really there. Just so I grew up in a Christian home. I received Christ at about 4 years old, and I was this serious sunshine kid, okay, for Jesus, a little sunshine beam. My dad got killed at, I was in my 30s, and he got killed in that accident. And it's like, this is not from God. This is not God. I'm angry with you. Why didn't you protect him? You knew he was going to retire. He was going to retire that year. And that happened. So I'm angry with God. I'm furious. I grew up in a Baptist background. So you don't ask God anything. You just accept it. And I've never been one of those kind of children. I always ask, why? Why? So I moved to Atascadero in an apartment building with three kids. And there's a Muslim lady that lives upstairs from us. And I told God after I got angry with him, I told him, I said, I will not send anyone away from you. I promise you I won't do that. I won't say anything against you, but I'm not saying anything for you, and I will not send anyone away from you. That's my promise, because there's something I'm missing. Muslim lady is upstairs from us, and we move in and we meet the neighbors. There's other people there, but she comes down stairs one Sunday, knocks on my door. Julia, you take me to church. Not going to church? What do you want to go to church for, Mom? Mama June is her name, means grandmother. Mama June, what do you mean you want to go to church? She's Muslim from Persia. I can't can't say anywhere else. She's old school. She's from Persia. 5 prayers a day, that's her. Julia, you take me to church. So I said, okay, Lord, I promised I wouldn't send anybody away from you. But I'm still angry at you. I'm still very angry. Took her to church. Then she would have me take her the next Sunday. And the minister would talk about how good God is. And I'd get up and leave, angry. That's not a good God that allowed this. And she started asking me questions about who Jesus was. So I went to the pastor, and his name happened to be John also. Went to the pastor and I said, I'm very angry with God. I don't understand. And I explained to him what had happened to my father. I said, I don't understand. And right now, I don't see how anybody can call him a good God. And so I said, I want to go to church. I want to believe him, but I can't. Can you handle me? Can your church handle me? Because I'll get up in the middle of a sermon and leave, and you've seen me do that. Because I don't want to hear how good he is. And I thank the Lord for this, because he took his time in answering me. He said to me, after he took a minute, he said, look, you keep coming to church, I'll handle my people. And that's how we ended up starting back to church. I would bring the kids, I would go. Mama June would go. She wanted to hear, she wanted to understand. And she could feel the Spirit of God there, and she couldn't understand what that was. But she knew it was something. Now, how she knew about the churches in the first place, I don't know. But I really know that God just set her there just for that time and period. I needed a mother around me to go through the process of grieving. I needed someone that needed to know who Jesus was. He sent me her because I couldn't refuse him, and I couldn't refuse her either.
So, as I've, you know, been attending for a while now, for most of that time I was not a person who gave. I was one of the people who sit in the pews, and I would, make the mistake of turning the bulletin over and seeing those numbers in red, and it, really feel like I was letting down my responsibilities, because, I'm attending this church, I'm getting value from this church, but I'm not supporting the church. And so Pastor Brown came up with this idea, the 7-11 plan, and it was $11 a month, $11 a week, for 7 months, and that just kind of pushed me over the edge. It was a good idea. It was a way to just kind of take it's a baby step, really, to test into faith. And so I did that. And around the time it ended, the 7 months came, was coming to an end, I got a new job, and I was making, I had more money. And I was, at first, my first inclination was to just start the 7 months over again. And I decided, no, I got a new job, I really gotta give God his due for that and really step out fully and really give him a chance to be faithful to his promises. And so I started tithing correctly, and my personality, if I'm not letter perfect, as close as I can be, I'll let things slip. So every time that money would hit the bank, first fruits, I'd try to give it to God as quick as I could, and he has always proven himself faithful since then. For me, the concern was always, I've never made a whole bunch of money, so 10% would really I thought it would hurt, and I thought I would really face hardship over it, and I never have. I've had some unexpected things. I've had some things that were not pleasant that I had to be paid for, and I just never experienced any sort of serious lack. I could always cover it. And so he's just always been there. He's kept his promises, and that has been my experience. If you give him a chance, he will keep his promises.
May send a Muslim to help you, but isn't it a great story? I mean, aren't those great stories? It's such a cool thing for me to be able to, I get in on some of this stuff. Not everybody does, but I get in on a lot of these things. And to know that he's doing all those different things in all those different ways with different people simultaneously is like, yeah. He's just better than I can tell you. That's all. So we have one more. So Betsy, if you want to come, please. There you are. I'm sorry. The lights make it hard for me to recognize. It's Betsy Horwitz. She has a daughter that got baptized this morning. Pretty good day at their house, too.
Good morning. So I have a testimony to give, and my testimony is about two things, maybe three, because God also spoke to me watching my daughter be baptized. It's about a physical healing, and it's about being delivered from fear. So women who were at the women's retreat in October, I think it was September, October of this year, have already heard this story. Act like the ending is a surprise. And I have to, there's some background to explain why this event was so significant for me personally. My dad's mother, my paternal grandmother, died of ovarian cancer, and it was horrific. And it was a type of tumor that is usually benign. So something that at first didn't seem like anything to be worried about. And it ended up being malignant. So last spring, it's been about a year, I get a text from my mom. I'm at work. We just saw something on Channel 5 News, a new study that came out saying that women whose paternal grandmothers have ovarian cancer or had ovarian cancer have a significantly higher risk of having ovarian cancer themselves than if it's their mother's mother. And this is a big deal because typically people think about what their mother's history is. So in fact, with ovarian cancer, if it's your father's mother, that's more concerning. They tend to really get worried about health things. I grew up in a home where chronic illness was this specter that was held over everyone's head, and every little thing that could be an issue was terrifying. What could it be? What horrible thing is this now? So I know they were panicked. I was like, I'll check out the study. You know, we'll see what it says. And it was a good study, and it was significant enough. That when my mom texted me later and said, we're on our way to your dad's hematology appointment, we're going to talk about it with his doctor. I was like, well, all right, tell me what he says. I could pretend like HIPAA is a thing when it comes to my parents, and it isn't. They're exempt. They can. My dad's hematologist is also my hematologist. It's, you know. So they text me after the appointment again. He says that you need to have an ultrasound done every 2 or 3 years just to see you've got a significant enough history. Get in touch with your regular doctor about that. Okay, well, I had already had a pelvic ultrasound a couple of years prior, just for some other issues. So I went to my PCP. I went to the women's health nurse practitioner. I've been having some kind of vague symptoms anyway. And as time went on, I was like, you know, I've been feeling nauseated. I've been bloated. I've been feeling like when I eat a little bit, I'm full. And these are all warning signs for ovarian cancer. So I get the first ultrasound, and it says that there is a cyst in my left ovary, but it could be benign. So we're going to follow up in a couple of months and get another one, see what it says. 2 months later, I get the follow-up ultrasound. It's still there. And this time, the radiologist is a little bit more descriptive. It appears to be solid, and it has blood flow. I don't want to bore you with details. I'm a nurse, so sometimes I just get way too involved, but those are bad signs. Those are not good. You cannot say for sure that it's benign based off of those findings. You also can't say for sure it's malignant. It's about a 1 in 3 chance of malignancy. 1 in 3, and I have 2 small children. And at this point, I am very afraid. So the next step is to get an MRI. Because a lot of times, if you can't say for sure that something's benign on ultrasound, you get an MRI and there's your pat on the back. It's good. Or, well, it still looks concerning and we're going to head towards surgery. My insurance company rejects the MRI. Because some people in an office can make a call on a patient that they've never met, on a patient whose family history they don't know. Okay, sometimes they reject it the first time just to buy themselves a couple of weeks, I guess. They try again. No, it's rejected. My primary care doctor calls and speaks with a physician associated with the insurance company directly. No, rejected. And these rejections take time. And these are nights that I'm laying awake while my husband snores next to me, saying, God, who is going to love my babies like I do? It's been all day. It's been since Friday night, all weekend long. Like, it's waterproof mascara. We're covered. It's good. It is good because I'm here. It's good because God's good. Still act like you don't know the ending. So my PCP sends me to a gynecologist, 5'2" of fire in her belly. She's great. I love her. And she says, look, I will draw some labs. I will try a last time to see if your insurance company will cover the MRI. If they won't, we'll get another ultrasound. Want to make sure that it hasn't grown. She said, but if we can't get that MRI, we're going to have to go in surgically. Okay. You know, okay. In the meantime, my dad has seen our hematologist/oncologist again. He has reviewed the ultrasound results because, again, HIPAA doesn't apply. And he says, that needs to come out. And he gives my dad the name of a gynecology-oncology surgeon, best in the city. This is the person who needs, it needs to come out, and this is the person that needs to do it. Let me know if you can't get into that office. I say, well, I've got this appointment, you know. So I go in. I get a call from the nurse. You know, we've got the labs back. We're going to attempt to get the authorization. You will hear from me on Monday. I will let you know. And then we'll get you scheduled for that ultrasound, a third ultrasound, if they say no. All this time, I have talked to my coworkers, who are also nurses. I'm a nurse, nurse practitioner. And everyone's like, what is going on with this insurance company, with all of it? I've told my girls in my Bible study, I can see one of you. It's great. Who supported me? I've talked about it with my in-laws, who are praying people. I've talked about it with my husband. I've talked about it with my parents. I've talked and talked and talked and talked and gone to the worst the worst case scenario what if points in my head. And then I come to church, and my husband playing the guitar, and I was sitting in a section I don't usually sit at, over here somewhere, and I don't remember the song. Ultimately, it isn't the song that matters. But I realized I couldn't just stand there and sing praises. I needed to talk to my Father. And that's when I finally said, God, I am scared out of my mind. I am so afraid. And I just wept. I just cried for a while. But something happened as I'm standing there. And I hear the body of Christ around me. I started to get brave. I had forgotten who I was talking to. So I began to remind myself who I was talking to. I recounted the things that God had done for his people. How he came to Abraham and said, I will make your name great. I will make you the father of many nations. Come away from this land that you know, this land where you're comfortable, to a new land I'm going to show you. And I will bless you. And he brought the Israelites out of Egypt with the entire Egyptian army bearing down on this group of people that had old and infirm and young women, pregnant babies, days old, perhaps some born on the flight. They had the entire Egyptian army bearing down on them, and God opened up the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. Every single time, every story, just saying it, you're the God that did this, you did this, you did this. And then in my own life, when Jacob was unemployed for 15 months and we almost lost the house, and the month before we couldn't make the payment, the job. When I was pregnant with our son, and at 11 and a half weeks, I started to hemorrhage, and the nurse told me with tears on her eyes, all you can do is go home and rest, and maybe this will be your miracle child. He's 5 and a half. God has been with me. So I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, those stories. And that's really where I ended it, was with, I know that you can deliver me from the fire. I know. And I would be so bold as to say that you who created every single cell in my body can make it instantly right. You can speak to this mass, be gone, and it will be gone without a trace. And the doctors will be perplexed, and no one will be able to explain it, and it will all be for your glory. But even if you don't, I am not going to bow down to the prince of this world in fear, because that's not my Father, and that's not my name.
That's really good.
So Monday, I get the call. The MRI has been denied again. They have an opening on Thursday. Thursday is my day off. And I went in that morning. And I meet Roxanne, the ultrasound tech. And we just share pleasantries. It's awkward getting an ultrasound just of any discreet, you know. So you just start talking about things, kids, and coffee and life in general, and she's taking her pictures, and she's got the thing there, and you know, moves a little probe with the one hand, with her other hand, click, 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 beep. That's the picture, is the beep. And moves it a little more, click, 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 beep. And she's telling me, you know, she knows I'm in the medical profession, so she's telling me the stuff as she sees it. I'm taking a look here, looking at this, click, 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 beep. She goes over to the left ovary, and she stops talking to me. click, 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 beep. Click, click, beep. Click, 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 beep. Click, 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 beep. I just lay there. I'm calm, but I'm thinking, okay. This has become an even if you don't situation. She takes several more pictures on that left side. She goes to the right side, and I'm like, okay, maybe that was normal. Maybe she's super, super thorough. No, you know, just only a few pictures on the right side. And then she goes back to the left side. I just want to make sure that I didn't miss anything. So then it's done. She's standing at the computer with her back to me. And she says, well, I'm going to upload these. The radiologist is going to look at them right now. At Imaging for Women, our radiologists come out before you leave and tell you what your results are and kind of give you an idea of what the next step should be. She's not looking at me, and her voice is shaking. Okay, even if you don't. I'm sorry, pardon me. Nope.
We're prepared.
Okay. So I get dressed, and I sit and I wait. And a few minutes later, there's a knock, and the two women come in, the radiologist and Roxanne, the ultrasound tech. I don't know why I remember her name. It'd be crazy if Roxanne was here today. The radiologist leans up against this counter, kind of like half sits, half leans. And she goes, well, there's nothing there. And she says, Roxanne was terrified that I was going to not believe her. And Roxanne starts saying, I've been doing this a lot of years. I didn't miss anything. She's like, I took pictures of every single millimeter of that ovary, and there's nothing there. And they just keep... The radiologist keeps saying, I know it's the right uterus because there's this little fibroid there. Too much information, I know, but we didn't get your images mixed up with someone else's images, and we know that this wasn't like, it was in the ovary, not like adjacent to. There's not some strange tumor that was actually on another structure that's wandering around your body now. It was in your ovary. It was a sizable mass for your ovary. 2.5 centimeters an inch is bigger than your ovary is actually supposed to be. So it's just not there. Okay. And I think they were nervous. She was like, I guess I could offer if you wanted to come back in a month and make sure it's still gone. I'm like, I'm good. I'm all right. And I wish I could say that I jumped up and said, to God be the glory. But I didn't. And I think this is why. Have you all ever gone fishing? Little girls go fishing. Like I went fishing, which is basically you just hold the pole. Daddy does all the work because you don't want to touch the worm. And you don't want to take it off the hook. But you're, by golly, you're going to watch that bobber. And if it goes under, you're going to get it. You know how sometimes the fish gets off the hook? Sometimes you put it in the water and it's off like a shot. I mean, whew, out of the frying pan. But sometimes it just kind of just lays there for a minute, kind of stunned, and takes it in. It's like, wait, this is real? I was one of those, wait, this really happened? Kind of a fish. So that's the healing. Every time I told that story, if a non-believer was there, they didn't harass me. They didn't tell me I was crazy. They didn't say anything. There was no persecution. But any time a believer was there, I needed to hear that. I needed to be reminded of how God moves and that he still does it.
That's
he
right.
does it today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. There is nothing I will encounter, you will encounter, where he's not going to be himself. And if it had been an even if situation, I hope I would have been found faithful to the end, whatever the end of that would have been. But I'm so glad that that wasn't even an issue. Physical healing and being delivered from fear. When my daughter was getting up there to be baptized, I was praying over her. She's had a saving faith in Jesus for a while, but she's been afraid of getting up and doing that. It's intimidating. I didn't push it. I didn't push it. God made her that way for a reason. And her first step of obedience shouldn't be done under duress. She takes that on her own. I will be here. I will support you. I will support you whenever you decide. On Wednesday, we knew the baptisms were coming up for a while. I didn't even mention it because the last couple times she's like, no, I don't want to. All right. Wednesday was her 9th birthday. We're in the van on the way home from Pioneer Kids Club, and I'm talking to Jacob. I didn't write down my testimony. I need to practice. Why am I going to mess it up? He's like, you don't need to write it. It's going to be fine. You're going to do great. Phoebe in the back of the van, little voice pipes up. What are you guys talking about? Well, this is a big Sunday. It's different. Kids are going to be in worship. Some kids are going to be baptized. They hear a little voice. I want to be baptized. Fast like that and quiet. I want to be baptized. I wasn't even sure I heard her right. Can you say that again? I want to be baptized. You say that one more time, but loud and slow. I want to be baptized. All right. Last night, you know, she's getting worried, laying in bed, tears in her little eyes. And she asked me some questions. I answer them. And she seems calm, but she's nervous. I'm worried, how is she going to do? She gets up there in the moment. Actually, Sean says it's time to go up and get ready. I'm sorry, this is a bit of a tangent.
No, this is cool.
Okay. Like, hook me with the cane and get me off. Don't ever hand this lady the
I'm
mic
right
again.
Here.
He says it's time, you know, for the people who are ready. Like, she's up and off like a shot. I can't even catch up with her. She's not looking over her shoulder for me. She's going. And she gets up there. She, you know, puts on her little t-shirt and she's standing there and she's ready to go. She's ready to go. She's ready to go. She's trembling. So I'm praying over her, and Holy Spirit reminds me that this is how my girl is. She's afraid, but she does it anyway. And the phrase that I believe God spoke into my heart to pray over her in that moment before she went up was, though she tremble, she advances. That specter, that fear of illness that was held over my head my whole life growing up, that ended. That ended with that healing. That ended really in that time of worship, but especially when God just did it. And so if you're in a place where you're trembling, though you tremble, advance. Advance, because God goes with you. No matter the outcome, advance. So, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. There's nothing there. And they can't explain it, but we can.
Awesome. She asked me if that was too much. You ever see any of the Rocky movies? You know, Clubber Lang in there. I got a whole lot of more. That's what it makes you feel like. This is awesome. What a wonderful day. And my hope was that you would be touched, and he would be honored, and I think we did it. Here's what I'd like to do if we can. If I get anybody on the prayer team, would you just come up here, please? And then I want to do something a little differently so you guys can give people an opportunity to get touched. Because, see, testimony, oftentimes what happens, testimony, the Bible says that this is connected. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Do you know that the Bible says that? So something happens that happened then can happen now. And oftentimes when you give a testimony, the same power and presence that was there to do the healing or the deliverance or the comforting or whatever was being done is here again like that. So each of you that testified today, whether on tape or live, if you'd like to, I want you to come up here because you're carrying something that somebody might need. And I seriously believe in impartation. So just come on up here. And when I'm just going to pray for us real quick, and then you can come up and have anybody pray for you. But, Tyler showed real gumption and faith about trusting in the promises of God financially. If you're struggling with that, the man's got it. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm just saying, it could be for any of the reasons, but I want to see the Lord touch you where you need it by and get that touch from people who care and people who have testified that they've had that touch. So if everybody that wants to be up here is up here, this would be a bad day to be in a hurry, right? Royals will play for 9 innings, so you catch part of it. But part of the reason of testimony, this is us talking about him and what he has done, which is opens the door for what he wants to do. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, thank you for those who testified this morning by dedicating their child to you, by those who obeyed you in baptism this morning saying, he's mine and I'm his. And Lord, these testimonies that we've heard about all these various things this morning, the truth is, Lord, your desire is to write ongoing testimonies in our lives so that we do have things to say in times like this and in the moment. So, Lord, what an encouragement to hear what you have done. Lord, we invite you today to add what you are doing in the moment to what you have done in the lives of these. So we open our doors to you, the doors of our heart, and say, Lord, come and help people today significantly and create testimony in their lives that they now have something new to give away as well. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.